Hello, welcome to the Long Shot Leaders Podcast. I'm Michael Stein. My guest today is Deanna Marie. Deanna's got one hell of a long shot story. She's got a couple, and she's also a podcaster. I'm going to let you just kind of soak this one in. It's quite dynamic, really interesting person. Here is Deanna Marie.
I'm here with Deanna Marie. Now, just hearing the name, because I used to, have a Eva Marie was the name of, I won't say her last name, was one of my girlfriend's names. She was Italian. Are you Italian?
No, Polish and German.
Oh, my wife is Polish. Okay. And I'm part German. Look at kismet already.
There you go. I like it.
So let's get into it. Let's figure out how you got into your podcast and everything. Tell us a little about yourself, where you're from.
So I'm from the Chicagoland area. So I'm a total Midwest girl, born in the suburbs, moved to Michigan for a brief period. Then we moved back. I'm the oldest of five children, same father. He, unfortunately, though, was a deadbeat dad and really kind of started my life on a questionable trajectory early on. I was a victim of human trafficking, had abusive boyfriends, got into drugs. Luckily, I got a very strong spirit. So I, fought my way out of that, did a lot of counseling, met my late husband at the gym. He was kind of like my knight in shining armor in a sense. Wasn't exactly the most healthy relationship, but we are the ultimate power couple. Had five huge businesses. One did about, I doubled the size of the business before he passed, but 20 million in sales. And then we had 150 employees. He passed away about 7 years ago. And, it's been an interesting ride since. I've had to rebuild my life completely. I did a little stint in the fashion world. I was a fashion designer, and now I'm like a full force into the podcasting space. And, that's just a real quick summary of my life.
Yeah. You skimmed over it. You're a podcaster. So, I got to dial back on.
Of course. Let's unpack it.
Got a little bit about the trafficking situation. Tell us a little insight on that.
Well, I think, so people don't realize there's many different, human trafficking, that the umbrella falls under over so many different things. So you've got the young girls that are being coerced by somebody on like social media, or get kidnapped, or someone from overseas get kidnapped and used for sex or just regular working slavery. You've got the child that's being molested by a parent or a friend of the family that falls under the umbrella, and then sex work. And that sex work typically happens from a man, in my case, that convinces you to have fun with his friends, and then it gets into other things, and it's just a domino effect into that. And so that was my experience. I was 17, and he had abducted me at one point, stabbed me in the arm, had broken in my house twice. I'm lucky to be alive, because he almost killed me, and at that point I was just this is it. I got to get out of this. And during that experience, I got involved in drugs. Luckily for me, I'm not an addict. I was able just to enjoy or play with or whatever. And then, just say goodbye. So yeah. What you see in the movies is kind of a little bit like that. He was very abusive, wasn't exactly a fun time in my life, but I look back at it and I'm lucky to be alive, and I learned a lot. And now I'm a big advocate. I like to talk about it as much as I can, because I think if we would arm our young people or families even with what human trafficking means, that they could perhaps knowledge is power, protect their kids from something that might be detrimental to them.
Well, that definitely falls under the definition of, the legal terms. And that's and you're so impressionable still at 17 years old.
Oh yeah.
And saying what you said about your dad, I mean, that's a part of the puzzle too, the father figure. It's a cliche, but it's true.
It is. It's very true. Yeah. I mean, but luckily, so I took the brunt of all of it for my siblings. Luckily,
oldest they didn't one, have, right?
Yeah. So they didn't have to see a lot of that. And so they've lived very healthy, successful lives. And, unfortunately, sometimes someone's got to take one for the team. And I did that.
Right. What's the age gap? Were you like the caretaker? Was your mother in all this?
My mom, she worked, you know, she was a single mom working her butt off. You know, when my father, you know, he was kind of forced to leave, which was a godsend because I ended up calling the police on him at like 15. And, you know, that he got locked up. And then me and my sister were taken away, put into a foster care for a brief period. And then my parents ultimately got divorced. And so my mom was working and I was working. I worked like two or three jobs in high school. You know, the story that you hear from your grandparents of, I walked through 5 feet of snow to get to a job. I did that. I didn't have to hear from my grandparents. I did that for my mom and for my family. And I would give her half my paychecks every week. And so, you know, her and I was a surrogate parent to my siblings, which was really hard as we got older because the lines were very blurred. And we had to really kind of recreate our relationship as brother and sister and sister and sister. You know, it was, even though I was strong and I was there for them, I would never change that. I would do it all over again. But I think that it would have been nice to have a little bit more of a roadmap and what that would look like as we moved into being adults together. Cause right. It was hard, you know, like I grieved the loss of being a mother figure towards them. And I had to learn how to be a sister. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, and just hearing your story and what you told me already before that, and this is the way it works. I mean, so seldom, unless you're writing a screenplay, it's never like, yeah, you got over that bad relationship and it was abusive. And then the clouds open up and, you know, it's like new equilibrium. Yay. We made it. Pot of gold and the rainbow. No, it's usually another fucked up relationship. A little less than there's usually maybe an inciting incident, but it happens maybe in your late 20s, early 30s, something like that. What does your journey look like? Your thumbprint? I mean, you already told us, but kind of lead into then you graduate high school, then, you know, because it sounds like you've had some milestones of like really challenging moments here.
Well, for sure. You know, and I think that anything worth having in life is going to be challenging, you know, and it's all relative across the board. Some people experience things differently than others, right? And so in terms of relationships, I went through a lot of counseling. You know, and then before I met my late husband, I mean, he wasn't perfect. He was incredibly controlling. You know, I could never do anything away from him. But, you know, I lived in the mansion, flew private, had the Ferrari, the Mercedes, had all the things, right? But when he passed, I almost lost everything. So I have a natural business sense. So we complement each other well in business. We're very successful. Like I said, my largest contract in my career was a $20 million contract. And, you know, I did that with a bid that I won and we had to fight for it. But after him though, which was very interesting. And I kind of was like, why? I got into another abusive relationship like before. And I was like, what is happening here? You know, my husband passes away. I've attracted this crazy man who's like being physically abusive, is like messing with my head in like just crazy ways. And I'm like, I'm 38, 39. I'm like, why at this point in my life am I going through this again? My late husband wasn't abusive. He was just really controlling. You know, I couldn't do anything. Now I'm back. I've like reverted back to this. And so what you said, like that journey, you know, is not always linear. You know, you go up and then you come back down and you got to kind of work through some shit again. So after that last one, it took me like over a year to get him out of my life. And I was like, I just took a break. I'm like, I got to like really focus on myself and figure out like what the hell. I guess I didn't fix everything that I thought I fixed, you know?
That's the higher equilibrium part of the, once you get that final, you're like, I can't do this anymore. You start, and it's a cliche. I did it though. You get men are from Mars, women from Venus, Venus and Mars in the bedroom. You start getting the relationship books. You start really, you know, you don't get into a relationship and you work on yourself. Yeah. And then usually, you know, after you really hit threshold, that's where you do some work. At least I made a list, you know, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. Yeah. Were you formal like that? What did you do to get?
No, I wasn't formal like that. I mean, I just knew like when I finally started dating again, I just knew like any red flag, no matter what it was, I was done. I would just not even like in.
You knew what you didn't want.
Yeah, I knew what I didn't want. And I just kind of like, I really think that people that go out searching for a partner never find it, you know? So I just kind of like, you know, I just kind of like had fun. I mean, I met my fiance, I'm getting remarried. I met my fiance at the end of 2020, like right, like day before my birthday. And it was like, prior to that, I had been by myself for so long. You know, I really hadn't dated that many people from the last idiot after my husband passed to to when I met him. And so, but during that time period, anybody I met that it was just like, red, like, you know, sirens, I'm like, you know, that's it. No, I'm not getting involved. Right. And so I met him and he's just been, they say, you know, when you meet someone that is really meant for you, they're not going to look like your typical, you know, your type. And he doesn't look like my typical type. I mean, he's very attractive. He's amazing, but he's a police officer, which I never thought I would be with a police officer. And I mean, I used to hate them because I got in trouble all the time. Right. And I'm like, it's so ironic that now at this point in my life, I'm blessed. I have like, you know, a bonus round here that I've met this incredible man. That's everything that I should have had before, and just very healthy all the way around. We talk about everything, no control issues, you know, just, it's a beautiful, and I can appreciate it at this point in my life because of what I've been through.
A lot of people have the same problem. They go through stuff. All right. She got two pit bulls that just like, she got pit bulls like me. They're cute. I can't see it on the couch. But now people that are navigating out of these type of relationships, how did you meet your guy?
Just through a friend. You know, I was like, I was out to lunch with my sisters and my mom for my birthday. My girlfriend's like, I'm gonna take you out for dinner for your birthday. I'm like, okay, great. I'm all buzzed up. I'm like, woohoo, I'm on the party train. And I get over there, you know, and she had some people over and, you know, she had this guy was sitting there and, you know, then we just started talking. And then from there, just like, we ever since we met, we haven't been able to be apart. So it was just a very natural progression. Nothing was forced. It was very easy. So it was a very healthy way to meet someone and very, you know, refreshing.
Yeah. You got the security part down with the pit bulls and now your fiance.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel very protected.
Right. So, all right. So now you started your podcast when?
2019.
Okay. So, and what was you're still doing the same one you started with?
Yes. Yes, I am.
What, mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
So, you know, after going through all this stuff that I've told you about, you know, I did a little stint at a couple of years trying to get in the fashion world. I love clothes. I'm a total fashionista. And, you know, I told myself I'd do three collections. If it didn't take off, then I'm just going to be done. It is a very hard industry to break into. It's like worse than the good old boys club if you're like in the business world as a man, right? So I'm like, what's next? I had gotten an email that said how to start a podcast for under $100. And I'm like, I didn't know what a podcast was. I really, you know, maybe heard about it, but I didn't know what it was. So I read this article and I'm like, you know what? I don't know who the F I think I am. I'm going to start a podcast. And, you know, it started off as a passion project because I told my best friend and my cousin, I'm just like, you know, I'm really tired of the labels that I put on myself, you know, being ashamed of what I've been through, the labels that people have put on me as being a widow, like, oh, how dare you try to date again? How dare you do this? Like, it was shocking that I had just like, kind of, I moved forward in a very strong way in my life. Like just trying, I made a decision to be happy, to be grateful, and just, you know, adopt a lot of really positive mindsets for myself. And, you know, I got a lot of feedback from that wasn't always the best. And I'm just like, you know, I don't care. I don't want to carry it anymore. And so came up with the Label Free podcast, to live your best life, live label free. And as I have grown it, it has really meant a lot to a lot of people. And the message is bigger than myself now, you know, and I've got no shortage of people, guests that align with the message because it means something different to everybody, but the underlying message is always the same. And I think it's a very important message, especially this day and age when there's so many people that are divided. You know, we saw a lot of that during the pandemic. And, you know, my goal is to, you know, really encourage people to live in their most authentic self and, you know, don't apologize for it because we are all uniquely imperfectly perfect, right? And my experiences, as scary and as traumatizing as they have brought me to who I am today. And, you know, I've learned a lot from it and I've grown a lot from it as well. So,
you know, when you're on your podcast and you're talking about some of these, you know, terrible moments and things that you dealt with, what are some of the highlights that you talk about and people to, like, you know, somebody that's might be, you know, a 17-year-old, you know, in the same situation, do you go through, you know, what are some of the, you know, I'm on podcasts too. And I go through the greatest hits of like, well, this is what I did. This is what happened. This is what I ended up doing. What are some of yours?
I mean, I'm sure, as you know, I mean, people can talk to you until you're blue in the face, you know, and tell you like, you should do this and do that. And it's not until you actually have like an aha moment, or, you know, you hit rock bottom, or you just say it's enough, or maybe you learn to love yourself, that you just decide that you're going to make different choices and not accept less than what you deserve. And so if there's a young person that's listening, who's maybe in a similar situation, just know if something doesn't feel right, you know, if it's not feeling like it's good for you, then most likely it's not good for you, you know. And if you think that this man is telling you that he loves you, but his actions are differently than his words, then the actions speak louder than words. Because if somebody loves you, they're not going to want to put you in harm's way or make you less than who you are.
Isn't it funny that we have podcasts now? Because if you go back to when I was 17, I'm a little older than you, but when going back to 17 years old, like all we had, we didn't have any of this. You had to listen to like Sally Jesse Raphael or something, you know, or Maury Povich. You're like, well, I don't know what to do. You know, you're like the Twilight Zone or whatever show was on was all like your teacher, or the encyclopedia. That was your internet.
Yeah.
From A to Z, they'll read those books. Other than that, you're screwed. I mean, you know, it's, you know, what your parents said or what people that you met.
Yeah. I think we are becoming a little bit more emotionally intelligent as a society. I think we have longer ways to go, but some of this stuff that we're talking about now, we're having these conversations that are so powerful and then can be life-changing for someone, should have been happening a long time ago. But I think that we've all had to kind of mature as a society and really see more of the world, which we see everything now, you know, we can see everything that's going on because of social media and, you know, what have you. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's better late than never, right?
Well, yeah, but and there's also an interesting dynamic of people that lived before the internet, you know, and living and are now having the advantage of the internet, as to where like Gen Z and millennial, you know, Gen Z's in particular, like my daughters, I'll say, you know, you got a university at your fingertips with YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't kind of like in trove, you know, like every day I'll read the MSN homepage or Yahoo and I'll be like, oh my God, I have to read this. There's just an enormous amount of wonderful information here to like know, you know, and you'll like go through that. And it's like, but they're like, yeah, I'm just going to go on, you know, TikTok and Snapchat, you know, some people. And then, you know, that's, I'm like, are you kidding me? They're like, there's more to do here. But I think that like, you know, the generation and kind of just talking about like all the stuff that you went through. And I'm assuming it was prior to 1997, 98, 99, you know, that when it started.
I'll be 47 this year. So,
all right. Well, you look younger. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, but it's funny because, you know, now with the podcast, and what's the name of the podcast again?
Label Free. To
Label
Live
Free.
Your best
that's
life.
Right.
Live Label Free.
And which is, you know, not just materialistically, but it's also that's a metaphor for other things.
Yes.
It's just funny to know, you know, talk to somebody else like that. Cause you know, talk to somebody else. They're like, yeah, no, we get it. You know, I'm like, yeah, but it's interesting. So take us through some highlights of people that, you know, stand out for you on your show.
Some guests that I've had on my show, or
absolutely,
people that have touched my heart on the show.
That's,
I mean,
who touched your heart and, you know, who really stood out for you?
Quite a few actually really touched my heart. I mean, I've had like the one man who was homeless twice. He actually was going to school to get his PhD and he like went into school and he's like, this is not how I see my life. And he ended up like living on the streets twice and ultimately came back and wrote a book. And now, you know, just like wrote a book of poems, but sharing his story of like how, what it was like to be living on the streets and being around homeless people and, you know, almost getting killed by, you know, cause a lot of homeless people aren't exactly all there. Like that was, I mean, quite a few people really touched my heart. His name was Damian White. I had another guest where she was an addict and she ended up getting pregnant and her son like saved her life. You know, and now she's a thriving entrepreneur. She's got her own podcast as well. And just like, you know, these stories are so powerful. People are so incredible. I mean, every person out there has a story. They just haven't told it yet. And so it's like you as the host and myself as a host, our responsibility is to highlight those moments that inspire and in hopefully create change, right? And so, I mean, there's quite a few that have brought me to tears, given me chills. Just, I don't know, the list is long. I'm very blessed to talk to so many amazing people.
Right. And I feel the same way. We have similar types of shows too. That's why it's interesting to talk to you. And you think there'd be more shows like it, you know, but I really don't. I mean, there are, you know, but not like a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I had three, you know, on the show, and you're like maybe the third. I've run the 340 some odd episodes where, you know, I had people that actually do a podcast about somebody who's gone through, you know, an underdog who's found success.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the future life for you?
So I'm also the head coach and founding partner of the Female Podcasters Network. It's a network that supports women in podcasting, specifically women in podcasting. We are in the infancy stages. I have a partner. They like to be silent. And so my goal is to actually create a network where we're hosting other shows of female podcasters that are thriving. And we're going to be launching a show ourselves here soon. Obviously, I'll be the host and highlighting our members of the network. And, you know, ultimately, I want to get us to our own TV channel, like Apple, you know, what have you. And so that is my goal. That's what's next. And then obviously continue to do Label Free. I mean, we're, you know, I love what I do. I love this community. I love connecting with other hosts. And I think the more that we support each other, the better it is for everybody and to spread these positive messages around the world.
You know, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think it's close thereof of male to female ratio of podcasters. I think it's like 75 to 25%.
Yeah.
It's very low. I don't know why, you know, but why do you think that is?
You know, so I, as the head coach, you know, I've had a couple of clients, you know, so if I don't promote it too much because my time is limited. I'm only one person, but I think women are still having a hard time stepping into their voice. Like even if they're successful, just that I tell them, I said, you have to embrace the title of being a public figure, because once you get in front of that mic and you are producing a show of your own and putting your message out there, you are a public figure. Whether it's a one person or 1,000 people or 1,000,000, you have to own that title and be confident in that. And so I think that even though we have wildly successful women, I think there's still a little hesitation in stepping into like owning that title, you know, and empowering themselves. I know for me, it was scary. Like, oh my God, you know, you set yourself up for ridicule and judgment, but at the end of the day, who cares, right? If you don't like me, you don't like me. On to the next. And if everybody liked me, then I'm doing something wrong. I hope I get a couple of haters, because that means I'm like, I'm on a good trajectory.
And, well, and also the riches are in the niches, and you know, you still, yeah, there's still, you know, that's a part of podcasting. It's still thing is wide open. You know, so what are some of the topics that you think you're going to have on, you know, and when's this going to launch?
Well, I hope to start recording going out of town next week, but when I come back, start recording episodes. And I want to highlight members in the group that have had a successful podcast and have something to offer to encourage other women to get into podcasting. Like, what is the benefit for you, and why, how would that help others? And so, you know, obviously bring value and just grow a show around the network to support the women that are in it. So we're at like 2,000. So, you know, I've done a lot of work growing it and want to continue to grow it. And I've been doing a really great job making a lot of partnerships and affiliations with a lot of the different resources that are out there. So I'm very excited, because we're going to be doing a lot of changes here that are going to help these women grow.
That's awesome. Please tell everybody how they could find out more about you.
I'm everywhere. You Google search me, you'll find me. But labelfreepodcast.com, Instagram, labelfreepodcast, LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, all the things, TikTok, and also femalepodcasters.com. If you are a woman in the podcasting space, it's free to join. And like I said, there's tons of resources, lots of women. We do a lot of review swaps, just a lot of things to support women in the space. So you want to find me, you can Google search me and you will get to me. So
Deanna Marie, thank you so much for sharing today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun.
That was Longshot leader and survivor and podcast extraordinaire, Deanna Marie. This is the perfect quote for Deanna. You are not the darkness you endured. You are the light that refused to surrender. John Mark Green. Thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hanging out with you all on the next episode. All right. Have you guys been to longshotleaders.com? That's where you can check out all of the guests and the bios and the backgrounds and more. Also, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what we do, give us a good rating. Tell your family and friends to come by and listen. It's going to make you feel nice and toasty inside. Every week, we'll be delivering knowledge, creativity, inspiration, exasperation, perspiration. If it ends with a shun, basically, you're going to find it here. All right, thank you for joining us. And in the great words of Bill Murray in the movie Caddyshack, friends for life, I say.